Mark, let's start at the beginning of your fascination with werewolves. Where in the heck did that come from?
I blame my Northern Ontario upbringing and just being associated with the wilderness. So, I grew up in Levac, so about 40 minutes northwest of Sudbury, and was constantly, hunting and fishing and out in the woods. And so I was always afraid of the dark, and I was always not afraid of actual wolves or bears or anything. But because my imagination was, I don't know why, it was a little bit twisted, I was more afraid of other monsters that don't exist in our world, like Bigfoot or werewolves, instead of actual animals. And I'm not sure really where that came from. It was just something that I always grew up with, always afraid of the monster under my bed and always looking for what might be hiding in the shadows, I guess.
Mel and I were talking about this. Werewolves are in that special genre of thriller where it's like you'd have to have an active imagination. Have you always had fanciful?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I was always imagining what if in really, really twisted. Even when I was in grade six and I was turning in stories to my teachers, I would take, you're supposed to write a page or two to finish off like a paragraph and end a story. And I would write these 12, 15 page epic adventures. And they would often involve supernatural stuff. So I was a huge fan of Spider-Man, for example, which, getting bitten by a radioactive spider. So with the werewolf, I didn't take it from a horror standpoint. I took it from a superhero standpoint where what if he has enhanced abilities like senses based on a wolf sense of smell and a little bit strength? And what if he used that to help other people instead of, what he does when he's the monster?
So this all started out, as you mentioned, short story, right, called This Time Around.
And, yeah, that's right.
And what have you been doing with that short story and your novels since the pandemic? Have you been sitting around eating pizza and drinking beer like Chris and I?
Well, yes, I have been eating pizza and drinking beer, but I've been really powering my creative energy into writing. And so one of the things my partner Liz and I have done is we've created parody videos. I did a music video on spoofing how people mispronounce Lefebvre. It's called You Call Me Fever, to the song, the old Peggy Lee or Elvis hit Fever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing things like that. We did the Steelers Wheel song, Stuck in This House Here With You. So we've done some parodies. And then that really kick-started my imagination and got me going to want to get back into the story that was originally, that 10,000-word short story that Sudbury author Sean Costello said, what happens next? And he kept prompting me to write Canadian Werewolf, which took me 10 years. And then this pandemic really compressed everything. And I'd been working on the sequel, Fear and Longing in Los Angeles. But then this other story, Stowaway, came in, which is only about 24,000 words. It's a novella, so it's like a really, really short novel. And I wanted to see what Michael Andrews, this small town Canadian bumpkin living in the Big Apple, what misadventures he might get into. So there's a little bit of humor involved in the thriller aspect, and so the pandemic really really kind of allowed me to focus and finally get Stowaway finished and ready for publication, and then even go so crazy as to put up a pre-order for February 2021 for the next book in the series, because listening to Scott Overton, Sudbury personality, former radio personality, who's now a professional narrator and writer. He did the audiobook version, and listening to his reading of it really inspired me to want to keep writing the series and keep going with Michael Andrews and all of his weird werewolf adventures.
I like how you made my brain switch over from the novella, just 24,000 words. I was thinking about reading that, and then I switched to having to write 24,000 words. Sounds like the most daunting task ever. So what does the February 2021 long book release, how many words is that?
Well, that's going to be about 80,000 words, which is roughly like, I think Canadian Werewolf in New York is 75,000. That's standard book length, like 300 pages. But when you get into the flow, it just happens, right? Like people might wonder, how do you guys get up so early and how do you do all your things and you're on air for so long, right? And it's pretty tense, right? Because you make a mistake and it's live. So people probably wonder that about the job that you have too, right?
I guess.
I roll out of bed as late as possible, show up here as late as possible.
No, no, no. You're right.
Wipe the sleep out of my eyes and then tell fart jokes for 4 hours.
No, you do not. You do not.
You only tell fart jokes for one of the 4 hours.
Exactly.
So I am absolutely thrilled that you're working with Scott Overton, who is a former coworker of mine and an author in his own right, and Sean Costello. Those are really big names to have behind you. Those are really good mentors.
Oh, for sure. They're both amazing writers. I absolutely adore everything that they put out, and they're great people too. So I'm very fortunate that I get to, you know, bounce ideas off them, work with them, stuff like that.
So if somebody wanted to write a book, you know, just asking for a friend, if somebody wanted to write a book, where do you start? You start with the ending? Do you start by, like, finding a publisher? What do you do?
Well, the first thing you do is, I call it butt in chair, fingers on keyboard, right? So you've got to write it first. And so I tend to be, they call it pantsing, as opposed to plotting a book out. I prefer to call it writing into the dark, or being a discovery writer. I start with a character in a situation, and then you need to understand who the character is in the situation and say, well, okay, what would they do? And then it kind of goes from there. Sometimes you know where it's going to go. The Canadian Werewolf came out of the idea of, what if you were a werewolf living in a big city? You wake up naked in Battery Park with a bullet in your leg and a taste of blood in your mouth. What happens next?
Ooh.
How do you find clothes, right? So that was the premise of the entire, what's now kicked off a series of books. And I think people have really, really strong imaginations. You know, if you sit down and you actually dedicate yourself to actually following the sequence of events, being true to the character, that's a great way to do it. I mean, if you wanted to write a memoir, it's the same thing. What are the questions you would ask about how that felt, what it meant to be in the situation? And I would strongly recommend, you know, get to the local public library. They've got great resources from Writer's Digest books and other places, sometimes workshops. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. I even have a podcast on writing and publishing. So there's lots of great free resources for people who are interested, and maybe that'll help motivate you to get the book done.
Do you do anything like the morning papers, that sort of writing, or like, what's your writing style? When do you find you're most creative?
I usually get up 5 in the morning, and I used to, when I used to have to drive into Toronto to go into work, I would get up early and write, and then I would get ready to go to work, and then I would write when everyone else went to bed. And maybe it's from my dad being a fisherman, you know, getting up early and just getting the thing done that was most valuable to you in the morning. So I usually find I'm most creative in the wee hours of the morning, because then once the day starts, all the distractions run around, and you're getting emails and phone calls and people. But usually when everyone else is sleeping, I can just sit with the muse and just let it take me.
You mentioned writing into the dark. Do you find that you work best when you're kind of painted into a corner?
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny, because I think one of the problems I have personally with outlining is if I know exactly where it's going, it's not as interesting to me. I mean, I need to have an idea of where it's going, but then you flesh it out. So it's almost like, it's what you call it, discovery writing, is when I travel, I love to, well, we don't travel much anymore for obvious reasons, but I like to go to a place and discover and see what the unknown,
so
the unexpected.
Like improv and play.
Yeah, exactly. I think I find that fun. And sometimes you go down the wrong path, but it's okay. You can always go back, right? There are two paths, but in the long run, you can always change the road you're on. Who said that? Someone should put that down
on paper and then maybe into a song.
Post it on a Zeppelin or something. Yeah.